hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going.
Good evening. We thank God for another Saturday, the first Saturday in June. And how the year is moving really fast. We thank God for the gift of life as usual. And it's always a pleasure to come your way, you know, Saturday evenings, as I keep saying. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. You know, last week I started talking about the fact that we need another Pentecost in our lives, individual lives. Tonight I'll be continuing. First, we'll be looking at the news, some of the things in the news, some happenings in the world. And then we'll continue the Word of God, encouraging ourselves, challenging ourselves, motivating ourselves. You know, because the way the world is going, we just cannot be comfortable with low-key Christianity, lukewarm Christianity. We have to really be on fire. And that fire can only be emboldened and kept aflame by the Holy Spirit. So we'll be talking tonight. And first, the song that I used last week, let me play it again. And that's a hymn by William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army. And the words are really, really important and timely for what we are talking about.
We ask you, just like William Booth did over 100 years ago, send the fire, send the fire, send the fire.
Live or die, send the fire today.
to live a dying world to save. Send. Lord, we're here tonight and we're on your altar. Send your fire. We give our lives. We give our lives to you today.
Indeed, we need the fire of the Holy Ghost in our lives once more. You know, the world is really, really something else, you know. But let me first go through a few news items for tonight. All right. The first one, go to the U.S., the state of Utah. The primary school, okay, so Utah primary schools ban Bible for. And the reason is just outrageous. Vulgarity and violence. A school district in the U.S. state of Utah has removed the Bible from elementary and middle schools for containing, quote, vulgarity and violence, unquote. The move follows a complaint from a parent, just one parent, that the King James Bible, Papa, no, my favorite, has material unsuitable for children. Utah's Republican government passed a law in 2022 banning, quote, pornographic or indecent books from schools. Most of the books that have been banned so far pertain to topics such as sexual orientation and identity. The banning of the Bible comes amid a larger effort by the U.S. conservatives in states to ban teachings on controversial topics such as LGBT rights and racial identity. Bans on certain books deemed offensive are also in place in Texas, Florida, Missouri, South Carolina. Some liberal states have also banned books in some schools and libraries, citing perceived racially offensive content. The Utah decision was made this week by the Davis School District, north of Salt Lake City, after a complaint filed in December 2022. Officials say they have already removed 7 or 8 copies of the Bible they had on their shelves, noting that the text was never part of the students' curriculum. The committee did not elaborate on its reason or which passages contained vulgarity or violence. According to Salt Lake Tribune newspaper, the parent who complained said the King James Bible has no serious values for minors because it's pornographic by our new definition, referring to the 2022 book ban law. This is next to madness. The Utah state lawmaker who wrote the 2022 law had previously dismissed the Bible removal request as a mockery, but changed course this week after calling it a challenging read for younger children. Traditionally, in the U.S., the Bible is best taught and best understood in the home and around the hearts as a family. Ken Ivory wrote on Facebook. The district's ruling determined that the Bible's content does not violate the 2022 law, but does include vulgarity or violence not suitable for younger students. The book will remain in place in local high schools. Bob Johnson, the father of a primary school student in Davis School District, told CBS News that he opposes the Bible's removal. Quote, "I can't think of what's in the Bible that you would have to take out of it. It's not like there's pictures in it," unquote, he said. the district is not the first in the U.S. to remove the Bible from its shelf. A Texas school district last year pulled the Bible from library shelves after complaints from members of the public opposed to conservatives' efforts to ban some books. Last month, students in Kansas requested to have the Bible removed from their school library. You know, these things are just going on. People are attacking the Bible from, you know, all sorts of angles with illogical reasons and all sorts of explanations and reasons, excuses and all, just to, you know, it's very unfortunate, but, well, the hatred for the Word of God is real. I mean, it's really, really real now. So when atheists or Satanists or unbelievers attack the Bible, I mean, that one, I don't see it as a big deal. Because, well, what do you expect from them? My problem normally is when people who are so-called or partial, half-baked Christians also descend into the gutters to also attack the Bible. Then it's like, I mean, you just don't know what you are talking about then, you know. In recent times, we hear people, and the Bible has a sort of contradictions. The Bible is a white man's book brought to deceive us. I mean, all this rhetorics, people, social media and all that, people will be saying it all over the place. But, you know, the fact is, if you think you don't want to read it, well, it's your cup of tea. If you don't want to read it, don't read it. But they just sometimes also want to have followers. So then they will start unquestionable, some all sorts of things, and they will be trying to galvanize the base for more people to also follow them. But those who follow them are the ignorant ones, certainly. Then the next one says, pastor among 43 Christians killed by herdsmen in Nigeria and homes destroyed. You know, Fulani herdsmen killed a church pastor, his wife, and 41 other people in an attack last month on two predominantly Christian villages in Nasarawa State, Nigeria, sources said. The Reverend Daniel Danbeki of the Evangelical Church Winino in Takalafia Village and his wife were killed along with villagers who were sleeping in their homes the 9th of May 11th in the attack that lasted until the early hours of May 12th, survivors said. And because some of these villages are extremely remote, it takes time before the reports virtually get to become public, and then the new international networks pick it and report on it. You know, Nigeria's situation is extremely worrying. You know, Christianity is really under attack in the northern states, mostly the northern states, and it's very unfortunate how the government is virtually powerless, quote unquote powerless, as they just have their rule and reign. They just do these attacks, go on unabated, nothing really stopping them. And it's very unfortunate. It's very unfortunate, you know. The next news says, men from warrior Sikh sects attack church in India. So a mob comprised of men dressed in traditional attire of the Sikh warrior order stormed into a church, causing significant property damage and injuring numerous church members in India's Punjab state. The assailants, who bore the distinct Nihang attack, blue robes, swords, and spears, interrupted a peaceful gathering at the Sukhpal Rana Ministries Church in a village near Amritsar City in the Sikh majority state. The UK-based group Christian Solidarity Worldwide reports they brandished sticks, tore Bibles, vandalized vehicles parked outside, and attacked the congregants, the group said, adding that following the initial assault, the situation escalated into a volatile confrontation between the two groups. You know, India's state to issues, Christians, I mean, one thing that baffles me with countries where they have laws to ban changing religion or conversion and all that. One question is, you never have a Christian country banning people from leaving the Christian faith to join other faiths. But it's always the others rather banning or stopping, making it illegal for their followers to leave to the Christian faith. Clearly tells us something. It's like there's a fear. I mean, they just fear that if they don't restrict their people, they will be changing, they will be converting, they will be accepting Christ. So the only thing is putting a law to make it difficult for people to be converted. And I always see religion, and that's the fact actually. Religion is an individual matter, because spirituality is an individual matter. But when you have governments and states imposing religion on you, it's really something else. So you have country like India, where Indonesia, all these places where it's difficult to convert some, and India, where they have part of India, they have this rule, new laws, for instance, to make it illegal to proselytize, preach, or witness, to convert people, making it a crime in some states. It's like the devil wants to keep you in that bondage of whichever religion it is till you die. But God is still winning souls in these strange places. People are still coming to Christ in various ways, in extreme circumstances, where sometimes Jesus himself visits people in their dreams and then shows them where to go and how to go about things, and then they get saved. I mean, so God himself is still doing wonders in some of these places. You know, I've shared this testimony before here of a friend who used to work in this northern African country. Is it Algeria? Tunisia, sorry. Yeah, he was in Tunisia then, working for African Development Bank. And he told me this personally. He shared this with. And so his friend, a pastor friend, was in his church office, his office, a normal day. And then he had 12 different men coming at different times of the day. I mean, and they all have the same storyline. Last night in my dream, I saw a man in white. He directed me to come to you to lead me to Christ and all. And all the 12 men, all Muslims, came to the pastor with the same line of dream visitation by Jesus, and they became born again. So there's nothing too difficult for God to do. And you see, there are circumstances under which that is the only option left for him to do his things. He will do it. But it's worrying when in places like Ghana, where we don't have restrictions and Christians are rather lazy and we are not doing what we have to do, he has to rather do some of these visitations in dreams. I mean, that's rather an indictment on us. But in extreme places like North Korea and all those, I mean, very difficult terrains, when people see Jesus in dreams like that, sometimes that's the only option. So that one is the way to go. But in Ghana, I mean, we don't have these restrictions. So, but yet, I know of someone who, that's how he became a Christian. Jesus visited him in his dream. You see, and it's an indictment on the church. All right, we go to the next. Christian man sentenced to death in Pakistan after baseless blasphemy conviction. You know, they had no prosecution, could not really make their case. Well, all the witnesses were contradicting themselves, so it was obvious that the man should have been acquitted. But unfortunately, the judge decided to sentence him to death. And so his lawyer is waiting for the ruling, and then he will file an appeal. You know, the hatred for Christianity is strong. So the slightest statement you make, they just take it on and twist it. There's this interesting one, very interesting one. The storyline. The headline is Christian woman caught reading Bible, starved by Muslim husband, left for dead at wild animal park. So a Muslim lady or a Muslim man upset with his wife's conversion to Christianity in Western Uganda denied her food and left her in the national park with wild animals. She said Sharifa Muhando, 27, of Kasese town, said her husband beat her and kept her from food for a week after learning that she had put her faith in Christ. The mother of 2-year-old boy had kept her faith hidden from the husband, Busa Bwabeli, and other relatives after accepting Christ in July 9th, 2021. On May 10th, at around 7 p.m., Muhando prayed in her room, read from her Bible, and fell asleep, she said. Unfortunately, I left the door open, Muhando told Morningstar News from her hospital bed. My husband came back from his place of work and called me, and I didn't respond because I was deep in sleep. He opened the door and found me with the Bible and a notebook on my chest. He shouted, and then, you know, the jihadist slogan woke her up. I was terrified after seeing him. He asked me what the matter was. He said, I answered him that this is a holy book. He got annoyed and beat me that night and told me that he was punishing me for leaving Islam and that he will automatically be rewarded in Jannah, that's in paradise, by Allah. Since that night, he kept me from eating. And then she said, adding that after 2 days, he threatened to kill her if she told anyone. On May 17th, Wabali, that's the husband, took her to a nearby Queen Elizabeth National Park. That's the animal park, you know, East Africa. They have these parks. She said, the husband said he had received a dream from Allah of taking me somewhere. Muhando told Morningstar News. So he took me on his vehicle and dumped me inside the Queen Elizabeth National Park to be eaten by wild animals. The pastor of the church she had been secretly attending happened to drive by on the main road bordering the park. God and his own miraculous ways of solving things. For whatever reason, this pastor happened to be driving along that place, which is not fenced. So he spotted her, then called others to help. They took her in the medical, took her to a medical clinic. Sharifa's health was in a bad state, said the pastor, whose name is withheld for security reasons, and she has been undergoing treatment while suffering from injuries. Her spleen especially was affected as her husband hit her with a blunt object, and she has pain around the neck. The doctors are also treating her for starvation and trauma-related symptoms. While preparing to report the case to police, it was learned that the husband had died in an accident, a traffic accident, according to the pastor. So that's how, you know, this woman has been liberated, because it's like it would have been a whole issue for her, I mean, even after. But sometimes, you know, God has a way of protecting his own. Because sometimes some people just have to be cleared out for you to have your peace of mind. And clearly we see this, in this case, a typical example of such. But the most serious news, I mean, seriously, I've followed North Korean news for years, read reports and all, persecution reports, Open Doors, USA, and all these persecution watchdog reports. But this headline will shock you, because it doesn't make sense. Seriously, it doesn't. North Korea sentences 2-year-old. I repeat, North Korea sentences 2-year-old to life in prison camp after parents caught with Bible, according to the U.S. State Department. I mean, 2-year-old. I mean, how? If parents are being jailed, what has a 2-year-old got to do with the crime the parents committed? But this is the country, North Korea, where common sense doesn't prevail. If Christians in North Korea are found possessing the Bible, they face the death penalty. You know, let me pause here. When I read about how the Bible is such a contraband good in North Korea and then in some other places, and yet Christians strive to have access to it to read, then I look at ourselves, including myself here, we have a freedom, so many Bibles, we have concordances, we have this, we have that, you know, on our phones, you can have it, audio versions, we have it, and that one too, God help us, we are not reading. And it's like, we have it for, technically for free, I mean, we have it, no restrictions. You listening to me this evening, I mean, you have your own Bible. You want to, you can read as if you want to read. When you want to read, you can decide to read. If you step out tomorrow morning holding your Bible, going to church, nobody's going to stone you. We have our freedom. And even that, tomorrow, Sunday, some people are ashamed to hold the Bible to church now. So, especially the youth. So, they'll just hold the Bible, or the phone. They are just, they won't even hold the Bible again. So, their phone is in their pockets. They are going to church. As if they are just going somewhere, but they don't want their friends to see them holding a Bible. It's like they are ashamed of the gospel. And listen to what people are enduring in North Korea for owning a Bible. If you are found with a Bible, death penalty. And family members, including children, are sentenced to life imprisonment. Reveals a report from the U.S. State Department, which includes an incident where a 2-year-old child was sentenced to life in a prison camp after his parents were caught with a Bible. 2-year-old child. So technically, you are a prisoner for life because you are going to grow 2 years, 3 years. I mean, so you grow up as a prisoner. And you, as you grow, before you get to know why you were sent to the prison. Because 2-year-old, they cannot appreciate whatever is happening. An estimated 70,000 Christians are incarcerated in North Korea, where prisoners face harsh conditions and physical mistreatment, says the State Department's recently released 2022 International Religious Freedom Report. The report attributes 90% of documented human rights abuses against both Christians and adherents of shamanism to that country's Ministry of State Security. It cites Korea Future, a non-profit organization working in human rights on human rights in North Korea, as saying that the North Korean government engages in severe persecution of individuals who practice religious rituals, own religious items, or associate with religious individuals, with punishments ranging from arrest, detention to torture, forced labor, deportation, and denial of the right to life. A 2021 report by the organization, which includes interviews with 151 Christian women, shows rampant abuse of religious freedoms, with forced labor, sexual violence, arbitrary detention, torture, deportation being the most common forms of maltreatment. Educational materials in North Korea are anti-religion. It says explaining that people who have escaped from the country recount textbooks containing sections on Christian missionaries, characterizing them as committing evil deeds, such as rape, organ harvesting, and murder. While North Korea's constitution officially guarantees religious freedom, and the communist dictatorship points to churches it has constructed in Pyongyang as proof of its guarantee, the State Department report contends these churches function merely as showpieces for foreigners. The discrimination extends to to followers of the shamanism as well, according to the reports, which says they can face 6 months to several years in forced labor camp or re-education facility. One victim was quoted as saying, officials worked as hard without feeding us properly. I suffered from malnutrition and was sure I would not survive. I kept having diarrhea even when I only drank water. I weighed just 35 kilograms. Today, I weigh 60 kilograms, so I was like a skeleton back then. Others described or showed signs of being beaten, ingesting contaminated food, being forced into uncomfortable positions for long periods of time, and receiving verbal abuse. For Christians, the report points out, the sentences are significantly more severe, ranging from 15 years to life in prison. One case involved a 2009 arrest of a family based on their religious practices and possession of a Bible. The entire family, including a 2-year-old child, were given life sentences in political prison camps. So that means from 2009 till now, this child is, actually grown then. So you still be in prison because you were arrested in 2009 as a 2-year-old. Wow. That's ridiculous. In December, the United States co-sponsored the UN resolution deploring the nation's systematic, widespread, and gross violations of human rights. The resolution expressed significant concern about abuses, including summary executions of individuals exercising their freedom of religion or belief. In this 2001 report, organized persecution, documenting religious freedom violations in North Korea, the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom said the violations it's documented in 2020 were seemingly designed to remove all traces of Christianity. The campaign to exterminate all Christian adherents and institutions in North Korea has been brutally effective and continued through the work of the Ministry of State Security, networks of informants that stretch into China, the presence of no-exit political prison camps, executions, and an educational and organized system that deters adherence through schools, workplaces, and neighborhoods, said the report, which was based on interviews of survivors, witnesses, and perpetrators of religious freedom violations in 2020 and 2021. The freedoms in North Korea are subordinate to and overruled by a document known as the 10 Principles for Establishing a Monolithic Leadership System, which has its purpose to bring each North Korean individual's thoughts and acts in line with the teachings of King Il-sung, King Jong-il, and now King Jong-un. That's the grandfather, father, and now the son. And that's the current president. It's added. For years, North Korea has been ranked as the worst country globally when it comes to Christian persecution on the Open Doors watch list. Being discovered as a Christian is a death sentence in North Korea, says Open Doors USA, adding, if you aren't killed instantly, you will be taken to a labor camp as a political criminal. And the pain is something else. And, you know, they see that the technically their president is a god. That's how they classify him. So no other god is allowed. I mean, it's an offense. They don't want any competition. And you see, it's such a severe condition for them, the Christians. Any material. You see, and the children are brainwashed in schools. So your own child can be brainwashed to the point where the child will report that there's a Bible at home, and then that means they'll come and arrest you. I mean, that's the difficulty. So to be a Christian in North Korea is extremely difficult, but yet people are persevering and enduring all this. And then back to the USA, where the wind of madness seems to be blowing even harder and stronger. You know, this LGBT thing, when I saw this news today, seriously, you see some news and your mind is still wondering whether you are reading right or not. PetSmart is a business that deals in stuff related, whatever. They've unveiled LGBTQ themed products for your gender fluid fish. I repeat, for gender fluid fish, and other gay pets. Now they've left the human beings and now they've gotten to animals. So they know June is the Pride Month, so they are doing all the pride, you know, their clothing and all the paraphernalia and all. So they've designed things for animals, clothing for animals, you know, those who dress their dogs and put on all the color, all the various things, LGBT colored ones for people's animals. But it's the fish one that my mind can't comprehend. I mean, but you know, something is happening. The world is gone off seriously, because the way it's going now is terrible. You know, in the US, Target, one of the leading or big, I mean, chain of stores in the Target, one of them, it's a very big one, like how we have our malls here, that type of system. They are now suffering boycotts by the conservatives, which I fully support, for selling, you know, promoting LGBT things for children. And now they've lost $14 billion in so far since the campaign to boycott their shop started. And it's a good call. I mean, that's how we have to treat these companies. Christians should decide to boycott, because they are the majority. The conservatives are the majority. And yet, sometimes they just sit and then this few tiny group wants to bully everyone as if they are rather the majority. But that's not the case. That's not the case. And so this company is really feeling the pinch. They've regretted it. They've removed some of the LGBT things from, you know, their sections in the shop, taking them, some they've removed completely, some too, they've taken them to obscure places in the shop, but still people are boycotting and is hitting them. I just saw a news this evening, you know, in Uganda, they passed a bill anti-LGBT bill. The law is very, you know, they say it's one of the harshest laws in the world against LGBT people. America is furious as usual. You know, you can't trust them. I mean, they sometimes you just can't believe how they think they are the rights. They have a right to control everyone. They have a right to comment about everyone's situation. Because of sometimes small 100 million, 200 million that they will be giving African countries to support their budget, so they have a right. But we too, we are not serious. That's why they can be talking like that to us. So now they've banned their Speaker of Parliament. They've cancelled his visa not to come to the US. Now say, take your US. If he doesn't come to US, what do they lose? And because they've passed the law. And the video so far, they are challenging that, okay, they should ban the president too, because you can't ban the president, cancel his visa, because he has to come to the when the UN meetings is in New York. You can't say you shouldn't come. Internationally, you can't do that. But they are saying that the president who signed the law. So the parliament, every day, the speaker and all, they did their work as parliament. And the 70-something MPs who voted, said they should ban all of them. Cancel all their visas. But this is what their intimidation. Recently, I read, I mean, Honorable Sam George, our own MP, who has been fighting, leading this anti-LGBT campaign in Parliament here, he traveled to Dubai, and it's like they've put his name on money laundering list, so he couldn't change, I mean, his dollars, couldn't change money to dollars and all that, like blacklisting him like a criminal, money launderer and all. So it's like, it was when you got there before he was trying to change, I mean, dollars to, I think, then the local currency there, and then that's when you give the passport out and the woman said, no, you're on a blacklist. And it's like, if you don't conform to their evil deeds, then they have to punish you. But that's the world. That's the world we are in. It's just, I'm sure when, as to whether our parliament will be able to pass it, that's another thing. But if they are able to do so, what they've done to, at Uganda, I'm sure the Museveni's law that he signed, But Ghana, even if our parliament passes, I don't think our president will sign it. So I don't think that law will really see the light of day per se in Ghana. And, you know, the system, the LGBT movement is, they are just, I watch how one MP, Congress, no, he's a senator rather in the US, was angry about African laws against LGBT. And it's like, what is this whole, I just still don't get it. You are in your country, you have your laws to do whatever you want to do. Others who say, this is our society, this is our culture, this is our belief. And you say you don't understand it. But the last news item, very worrying one indeed, because it's a trend that is really worrying. AI scientists, AI, artificial intelligence, are developing a digital brain that will surpass humans. We need to stop everything now, says an insider. So this report was from the Sun newspaper. Scientists are developing AI so advanced it could be compared to a digital brain that may be even better than the human mind. And we should be terrified, according to one insider. Kevin Baragona, founder of Deep AI, warned rapidly growing superhuman intelligence systems will usher in new kind of future, and it's one that should terrify you. And the fear is that all these AI minds will soon reach smarter than human intelligence levels and can we even survive this? It sounds like it's straight out of a sci-fi or science fiction movie, but Kevin is incredibly serious. Kevin told The Sun Online, "We are so good at it that it's already doing many of the same things a human brain can do. There is not going to be a battle between nations, but a battle between AI and humanity," he warned. A veteran in the Generation AI world, Kevin has inside scoop on how the development of big tech's golden goose is happening too fast for its own good. "This is the nuclear weapon of software," he said, "and is being released carelessly into the wild." And I agree with him perfectly, because some research that I've been doing in recent times, and of course I'm doing part of it, reading some things on it and all. And for those who have used ChatGPT and the other AI systems, it's a worrying trend. It's really, really a worrying trend, because it's going to really change the world, cause several millions of people to lose their jobs. There are a lot of jobs that in the next few years, people will be out of jobs because AI systems will be taking over completely. And we are not even the robots aspect of it, but just the softwares running things, because things that human beings would have been doing, ChatGPT is doing it. Some companies already have started scaling down on numbers, because instead of 10 people doing something, you just need 2 people using AI to accomplish that same task at a faster rate and at a higher efficiency. So threats to jobs, it's something else. But from the Christian point of view, when you look at the way AI is going, the Antichrist will really use it effectively. And they are going to use it. I'll talk about this another time. But, Issues of Life is the program. And I'll be back after this short break.
Father, we ask you, just like William Booth did over 100 years ago, send the fire! Send the fire! Send the fire! Send it, Lord! Send your fire!
Oh, God! Sing flame, send the fire. Your blood bought gift, today we claim. Send the fire today. Yeah.
Send the fire. Okay, right. Okay, Issues of Life, Spirit 88.3 FM in Kumasi. I'm Eben. Time is almost up, but let me still get on with what. Let me read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. There's a short verse, but loaded. Quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. Last week I started talking about the need for another Pentecost in our lives individually to revive us, to, you know, keep the fire burning once more and all. Quench not the spirit. In other words, the spirit can be quenched in our lives, because this is a direct address letter to Christians. So the spirit can be quenched, extinguished, whatever English you use to describe it. So perhaps you've been on fire before, you know, at one point in time, Christians can tell you, I used to preach in buses, preach in trotro, I used to go out, don't broadcast, I used to this, I used to that, I used to sing in the choir, lead solo, sing this, people, if you are to ask Christians to give you a rundown of their CV, of their Christian work, people give you very impressive, powerful CVs over the years. Even pastors who have their own CVs, we used to preach to several thousands, we lay hands and things were happening, we pray and things were happening, deliverances, healings. You know, as for CVs, yes, impressive, we have it. But the bigger question is, what is the current status of the Holy Spirit in you? What is your current location? I mean, when it comes to the spiritual location, where are you now? Are you on fire, or you have quenched the fire? Because you can say you used to, but can you now, or that ability is not there again? The fire has been quenched. You used to pray for hours. Now, 10 minutes. Hey, Asamaba. The fire has been quenched. You used to read the word, meditate, study. You read from this to this the whole year. You read and read and read the whole Bible cover to cover. You can say all the things you've read. You study. You have revelations from the word as the Holy Spirit teaching you. Now, even one verse a day, the fire has been quenched. Now there's no desire to go to church. There's no passion to go to church. You go to church, it's just, you know, that aspect even raises another question, because there are some instances where people go to church and the church, the fire has been quenched, not only in their lives, but the church itself too, the fire has been quenched there. So there's no fire in the church. So it's a boring gathering. You just go to church for going sake. There's no power. There's no fire. People just go. And that issue is a big issue now, because a lot of people are in places where they can testify and tell you that they go to church just for going sick. They don't feel any power. They don't feel any fire. They know something has gone down. It's not about them as individuals, but even those who are on fire, when they enter, they realize the place is dead. The glory has departed. The spirit has left the place. The fire has been quenched. So the fire can be quenched in an individual, and then as a group of individuals to forming a church, too, the fire can be quenched. So the fire being quenched is a serious issue. The spirit being quenched is a serious issue, because minus the Holy Spirit, I mean, all the whatever we will do, whatever we will be doing or we are doing, is just human ability, which are just human efforts, which will not yield spiritual dividends, because we are doing it on our own without the backing of the one whom we should be doing it with and for. So this evening, you see, we should start reflecting and challenging ourselves. Has the fire, has the spirit been quenched in your life? And if it's been quenched, you know, because you can measure your spirituality. You can know that you used to, now you cannot. you used to love this, you used to do this, you used to, now you cannot. That desire is no longer there. That passion is no longer there. The whole Christian thing is a struggle. You know it yourself. If the fire has been quenched, if the spirit has diminished, you know it. And that's why we need another Pentecost in our individual life to revive us. This, somebody cannot request this for you. You have to demand, you have to work on it. You have to put a demand on yourself that enough is enough. I need the Holy Spirit back, full force. You have to challenge yourself. And now you go to him in prayer. For him, he's available. He's waiting. Because it's like quenching the fire, you have relegated him out of the situation. But if you open the door again, yes, he's available. You see, we should not be comfortable in a fireless and a spiritless Christianity, which is the standard, which seems to be the standard now in most cases. Fireless, spiritless, powerless Christianity. I mean, we just say we are Christians, but there is no fire, there is no power, there is no spirit back in it. We are just empty cans moving around, making noise, speaking loud tongues, but there's no power back in it. There's no fire back in it. You know, I heard one pastor say something, and it was quite interesting. That, you see, so people who are speaking in tongues, but their lifestyle does not match the tongues they are speaking. And that's a fact. So Christians will gather and will be praying in tongues, make all the shouting, but the lifestyle, there's no power to back it. So there's a lot of prayer in the body of Christ, but very little fruits to show for it. Very little fruits, because people are praying. I mean, midnight prayer, this prayer, people are praying, a lot of prayer ongoing, but there's little fruit to show. There is little fruit to show because the fire itself is not there. And you see, one other worrying thing is we are interested in what God will give us. So a lot of the prayer is about what God will give us. Our demands are the earthly needs, job issues, marriage, travel, our needs, you know, our personal needs. Worldly materialism, the things we need to survive, all that. Nothing wrong with it. Rarely will you hear real spiritual things at these prayer meetings, because it's more about we, me, the things we want. But we've neglected our real spiritual issues, and we are concentrating only on the material ones. And you know, Jesus spoke about it. It's important, you see, because he says we should not lay up for yourself treasures upon this earth, where moth and rust that corrupt, where thieves break in or break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. You know, so, and then it goes further down, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the priority was set by Jesus for us. Which one should come first? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But now we don't want to talk about that, we don't want to pray about that, but we are busy seeking for the things that the bonus, the extra, is what rather we focused on. So the minor has become the major for us, and we've neglected what should have been the major. So we'll pray and pray and pray and pray. It's all about our needs. Nothing about God, purify me, search my heart, make me clean, all these things. You know, we are not concerned about it again. It's not 100% that all Christians know, but generally, these are now lesser talked about the fruit of the Spirit, lesser talked about. We are now focusing more on, yes, you see, the world has become more challenging economically, difficulties and all. So clearly there's a need for survival, which there's nothing wrong with. But as believers, that is also the devil's strategy he is using to distract us from what is important. So in our quest to get what we want, our personal needs met, we are also now ignoring our righteousness. We are ignoring the kingdom of God. We are ignoring what matters most. Because when we go to prayer meetings now, it's all about praying for ourselves, not our spiritual, even our spiritual needs, but our physical needs, And we are ignoring the most important things. Because you see, when you quench the spirit, and the spirit is not part of a lot of these prayers, that's what will happen. But if we allow the spirit to lead us in prayer, he will know, he will teach us what should we should talk about, we should pray about. Because he knows the real connections, the things we need, and how we, you see, we are leaving him in so many aspects of our Christian lives. So we are doing a lot of things. The flesh is dictating a lot of the things we are doing. And if the flesh dictates a spiritual thing, clearly you are in error, because you can't expect it to yield a good spiritual dividend. If the flesh is dictating a spiritual activity, eventually the end result will not yield the needed spiritual benefits. And this is very serious, we should look at, because if we see, because we've quenched the spirit, we are on autopilot, being piloted by the flesh largely. So he is dictating our needs, because we still see the need to be spiritual. So the flesh is dictating how we should be spiritual. So yes, you are still a Christian, no doubt about it, but now it's the flesh that is dominating and controlling, and that's where a serious issue comes in. Reflect about these things we've spoken about this evening. Challenge yourself. Think about it. Pray about it. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Ask him for his rekindling of the fire in you. Because we cannot go on in this slow motion way, lukewarmness, and be comfortable with the state of affairs in our lives. We should be on fire, because you see, the world is moving deeper and deeper into darkness in terms of spiritual darkness, of evil and all that. We need the fire to really make a difference. All too soon, the time is really, really gone fast. But, well, thank God for this evening. Thank you for listening, tuning in. Greetings to listeners all over the place, outside the region, outside the country. This file is recorded, will be uploaded to spiritissues.info. You can get last week's own, as well as the others, and the Telegram group Spirit Issues. You can get it there. So good night, and God bless you. I'm Eben. God willing, next week I'll be coming your way.